This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket, the show that will give you unique insights. I'm Brad Aldonesty, and we're going to have a whole lot of fun together in the process as well. All right, so we're going to look back at the top games from this past weekend in college football. After that, we'll take a quick break and we'll react to Matt Rhule's press conference. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this past weekend, I'm going to start with an unranked matchup because North Carolina scored 50 points and still lost by 20. James Madison went into North Carolina, Mack Brown country, his second tenure with the Tar Heels. For those who don't know, he actually built them up to a number four team in the country, one loss in 1997. Before he ended up going to Texas and winning that natty with V. Young. James Madison goes in to North Carolina and drops 70 and beats the Tar Heels by 20 points. James Madison, they're a good team, but what in the world is going on? Mack Brown's an all-time great coach. If he's not in the College Football Hall of Fame already, he should be. But that was a stunner, to say the least. I don't care if you're playing, I was going to say the Ravens, but maybe not the Ravens. They got Lamar Jackson. He can score fast. I don't care if you're playing Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence. They shouldn't score. They had 39 points before the half, James Madison did, and then 70 at the end of the game. There is no way you should give up 70 points in a football game. Do you know the worst loss ever in college football history? Margin, Jake? No Google.
I think it's 222 to nothing, ooh, something like that. Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. They had more pick sixes that game than they had completed passes when they lost 222 to nothing. All right. That was a long time ago. We're talking like 1930s, 40s. All right. Hopefully North Carolina can get it to better. I actually root for North Carolina. All right. Let's look at some of the other games. Texas. I'm just going to talk about Texas because of Arch Manning. And really, I'm not even going to talk about how he played. There's a Manning with speed, Jake. Did you see him run?
Oh, yeah. He's got speed.
What? I didn't even know that was possible. Have you seen Peyton and Eli run? I have. I've chased them. They're not fast. And when I say they're not fast, I mean the table moves faster.
Who's faster between them both?
Who's faster?
Yeah.
Oh, Eli. Nobody's slower than Peyton Manning, except maybe Tom Brady. You know, two of the five greatest of all time. I will never forget my rookie year. We're watching film of the Colts. And Peyton Manning has a breakaway. He's at the five-yard line. The defender catches up to him, and the defender's at the eight. So he can still make it to the end zone, I'm pretty sure, without being caught. He slid at the four. Yeah. I was like, nobody on planet Earth would get away with that except for Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or somebody like that. There's a Manning with speed. Arch Manning can run. And he looked awfully good, yes. It was not versus top competition. He looked awfully good, but there's a Manning with speed, and I felt like that was newsworthy. All right, Tennessee and Oklahoma. This was the WWE, all right, type storyline of the weekend in college football. If you haven't heard me talk about it 44 other times, I'll do it a 45th time just to catch those up who haven't heard me speak on this before. Josh Heupel won a national championship in 2000 at Oklahoma. Heisman runner-up. Came back as the offensive coordinator under his former head coach that he won a national title under, Bob Stoops. Stoops fires him, brings in Lincoln Riley. Josh Heupel meanders on over, starts coaching elsewhere, becomes the head coach at UCF, starts lighting up scoreboards, go to Tennessee. They're lighting up scoreboards. They have a top five explosive offense in the entire country. By the way, Oklahoma's in the 120s, in case you were wondering. And they came back to Norman. Josh's boys versus the Sooners. Tennessee's a pretty good football team. Final score is 25-15. My biggest takeaway isn't that Tennessee won, or even though it was by double digits. We know Tennessee can score. They have a defensive front that is really good. All right, now, in fairness, I know Oklahoma's offensive line is banged up, but they were in that backfield an awful lot, and they roll 2-3 deep. They got like 10 defensive linemen in their 4-3 defense. They got like 10 defensive linemen that can play. I'm talking there's not a big drop-off or gap. There's teams that just throw defensive linemen out there because the other guy might pass out.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
These guys can rotate at will, and there's not a big drop-off. They have a legit defensive front, and they can score. Tennessee is a team to keep your eye on. Now, Oklahoma actually kept this game. I think it was 22-3 at one point, which is about kind of how I felt it would go, because Oklahoma is just going to have a hard time scoring. But 25-15, I thought they kept it respectable. All right, the game of the weekend, USC, Michigan. USC rolled in here, the clear favorites. Not many people picked them. David Pollack did. Josh Pate did. I did not, but that's okay. I'm right probably 49% of the time too, just like Jake. But my point is simply this. This was a game of a team that probably wasn't as athletic as USC. Definitely doesn't recruit at as high a level as USC does. A team that lost their entire offensive line. They're starting running back, although they got, you know, a couple of running backs to step up, one named Donovan Edwards. Had all these question marks at quarterback. Started Alex Orji, who wasn't even their starting quarterback to start this year. Had a good amount of people coming back on defense, but they had been embarrassed by Texas, and they'd been written off by people. And the Wolverines were like a wounded animal backed into the corner. And they came out, and they ran the ball. And my only concern coming into this game was USC's defense is much, much improved. Better than they've been for a while there. And I even believe they're still above average. Not saying they're great, but above average, which is a gargantuan improvement if you've watched their defense the past 2 years. But I said they've only got two defensive linemen above 300 pounds. And Michigan should run this ball about 89,000 times in this game, especially with Alex Orji at quarterback. And it was the run game that was the difference. It was the physicality up front that was the difference. USC, I mean, it's not like they played bad. They were down 14-3. Fought back, made it a great game. Michigan scores late to win. This was two of the 10 most recognizable college football brands in the country. Two top 20 teams. Two legit college football playoff contenders slugging it out in September. And it was an epic game. I got nothing but respect for USC. And I kind of thought Michigan was dead. They are not. They still got a tough schedule that as this season goes along. Oregon, Ohio State, and the like. I'm curious to see what Michigan can do. Utah, Oklahoma State. I actually watched a decent portion of this game. I love Kyle Whittingham and the way he coaches. This was a matchup of two coaches who'd been at their respective universities for over 20 years. Mike Van Gundy, over 20 years at Oklahoma State. Kyle Whittingham, over 20 years at Utah. This was a game where Utah really controlled the game. The final score was 22-19. It wasn't that close. They were up by 2-3 scores the entire game. Cam Rising did not play, which I was told he was going to play. Did not play. Most people thought he was going to. A freshman quarterback comes in. Utah outslugs Oklahoma State. It was over 100 degrees on that turf. The hitting in this game, this is the most physical college football game I've watched all year. Incredibly physical. Utah is a physical football team. Kyle Whittingham. The reason they had so much success in the Pac-12 is because they were the only team in the Pac-12 interested in running the ball, playing defense, and being physical. And now they're over here in the Big 12, and they're winning with a backup freshman quarterback. I do hope Cam Rising can get healthy sooner rather than later. Number 12, Utah beats number 14, Oklahoma State, who tried to make it interesting late, 22-19. All right, BYU just dismantles Kansas State. I thought Kansas State was a halfway decent team. The boys from Provo dominate Kansas State, 38-9. I thought this was going to be like 28-24, 31-30. BYU, man, they're doing some good things. I look forward to watching them play Utah. That is a game that is, it's weird to say, and I'm just going to not explain why and let people put it together on their own. It's a weird thing to say that that game, when they play each other, is so filled with hate between those schools, and it's very legit. I'll let people fill in the blanks as to why that's a little bit weird for me or anybody in general. All right. Any other games I missed, Jake, producer Jake, we should chat about?
I think you got the majority of them. It's just good to see Kansas State lose 38-9 because 2003, I remember they did that to Nebraska. So a little payback there.
All right. Well, thanks for bringing up that game. Really appreciate that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to react to Matt Rhule's press conference when we come back. Don't go anywhere.